That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah.
From that.
They frowned upon Hulu Minus.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a joke,
yeah,
dude.
I'm sorry. Dude, I'm here from Standards and Practices, okay? I work on the side.
That's
for Hulu Plus.
Zero tolerance.
Yeah, zero tolerance. They told me to call you on your shit.
All right, let me start over, I swear. You've probably heard of Hulu.com. So what is Hulu Plus? Hulu Plus is so much more. With Hulu Plus, you can watch your favorite shows anytime, anywhere.
That's right. You can watch thousands of hit TV shows and movies in your living room or.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I got it out. On the go, on your smartphone or your tablet.
That's like the future, I feel like, is watching TV shows on your phone. That's
can you
imagine 80
this?
Years ago?
Okay, that's the future. I think watching TV shows on your phone. Yeah, that's why Hulu Plus shows them on the phone.
Yeah, but
you
I'm
didn't,
just saying.
You, no, you didn't like a, come up a, with it.
I know you call me out in the ad. Putting me on blast pre-show.
An early show blast.
A pre-show blast.
I'm sorry.
Either way, you can watch shows like SNL, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Shark Tank, and Scandal. You can watch that on your phone, on your tablet, on your TV. It's easy, and it's very affordable, actually. For just $7.99 a month, you can catch up on your current shows, binge watch on old TV shows, and you can stream as many TVs and movies. They also have movies wherever you want. Whatever you want.
That's awesome. And you can try Hulu Plus. Oh, God. And you can try Hulu Plus for free for 2 weeks when you go to HuluPlus.com. Look at that, /Amir.
That's right.
That's a special offer for all you guys out there.
You're bitter, Hulu, but it's true.
HuluPlus.com/Amir.
So if you go to HuluPlus.com.
That's normal.
/Amir. Yeah.
/Amir. I'd like to slash Amir.
Chill.
For what you've done
chill.
Here.
Chill.
Taking me out of the process.
You're still here, aren't you? You can try this whole thing out. Just see what it's like to watch a TV show or a movie on your phone or TV for 2 weeks for absolutely free. Thank you so much to Hulu Plus for sponsoring this episode. And without further ado, let's get started because this is a very, very, very unique episode.
Why is that?
Things. How do I put this simply?
Yeah, what? Oh, no. Oh.
They got real. Very real. So please enjoy this episode. Thanks, guys.
If I were you, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd listen to this show. And maybe in a while you'd learn a thing or two. Cause life's got many questions. And they've got all the answers. So if you're in a pickle, if you need advice, if you could use a laugh, then these are your guys. If I were you, show. If I were you, starts now.
Boo.
Whoa, hateful.
What was that shit?
You got a knot. You
what
got a
that?
Knot.
If I'm in, you, no.
You absolutely. Wrote that song. You recorded that song.
And he butchered it.
Yeah, that was your voice.
Exactly right. And I'm my biggest critic.
You're insecure.
No, I just thought that that song was so soothing and good. It would be funny if it just ended and 30 people booed him.
A chorus of boos.
Boo!
It made us feel too good.
Do-do-do-do.
It was very smooth.
Yeah.
Very smooth.
As if we weren't tired enough, that like song just really
lulled me right to bed.
Let me say that guy's name right away because we always forget to mention that song was written for us by McLean Cannon.
What?
Yeah, which I guess he's a superhero.
Like, I feel like he should be writing rap rock.
McLean Cannon?
Yeah, I'm McLean Cannon, all right? If I were you... sorry, McLean Cannon, you have to be in Creed, I think.
Yeah. You have to be doing bigger and better things.
No, not bigger and better.
Oh.
Creed isn't bigger and worse. Yeah.
I made for bigger and worser things than this. I want to be famous for a bad reason now.
I'm going to be on reality TV.
I guess there are people who want to be, who's like as kids, like, I want to grow up and be on reality TV.
Yeah, probably there are now.
That's awesome. That's
human
good.
Trash.
No, that's good. That's
why?
Because it means they're going to be famous, which is the best.
Yeah, it's nice to be
to be famous.
Famous
is the best thing because people know you.
I don't care what I'm famous for.
Right.
Okay?
As long as people
look
at me.
Oh, he works hard. He's a good writer. He's a good actor. No, I don't care. I want people to know who I am.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to be on the. I want to be on the cover of Star, on People, Us Weekly, Vogue, French Vogue. I want to be
French Vogue.
French dude. I. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
What? Yeah.
What? Yeah.
You think I don't want to be on the cover of French Vogue?
I'm surprised you even know that's its magazine.
Yeah.
Is there a French Every magazine?
I don't know. I'm not even 100% sure there's a French Vogue, but I think I heard Kanye West say it.
I want to be on People, Teen People, French People, French Teen People.
French Teen People. Yeah, there's never like a French boy celebrity, is there?
Like a,
the way like One Direction is like, oh my God, they're
British.
Hot and British. Or like BB Mac, yeah. Aren't they hot and British? Like the Beatles. There's never
who's
like.
Who's the most famous French person in the world?
I'm going to just say that I think Gautier is French. Is he not?
I'm going to just say that I'm going to go on record
somebody
as saying.
Somebody that I used to know. I'm got you.
Yeah, so basically this song is about somebody that I used to know.
Records, your shadow friends,
or
collector
records. Even funnier than that is like, hey, yeah, I'm Gautier. I'm from Kansas City. So
yeah,
my name is Gautier. Remember I was making a joke, I think it was like a year ago, that I went to high school with Gautier. It's like, yeah, the crew was like me, Adam, Jesse, and Gautier, and we would just like hang out, and like Gautier would do like the funniest Cartman impression.
We would play like GoldenEye, and like I was always James Bond, and Gautier was Odd Job.
So like we had this sleepover one. I think it was either at Chris's house or Gautier's, and like we like got like I don't know. We stayed up all night playing Tetris and Gautier.
Gautier's dad like made us potato skins and it was actually really tight.
But we always made fun of Gautier actually because like he had like the loudest farts. Hey, welcome to If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir.
And I'm Jake. Have we not introduced the show yet? I honestly, we could have been talking about Gautier for 45 minutes at this point. What's our time? Like, I don't know where we're at.
We've been going on. Yeah, this is the 91-minute mark. This is our longest episode so far.
We're delirious.
We're
straight up delirious.
Where are we today?
We're Los Angeles. We're back.
We made it.
We're finally here.
We started from the bottom. On Sunday, December 1st, I flew across the country in 4.5 hours, and then it took me 11 days to drive back. If you didn't know any better, you would think I'm an idiot for doing what I did, which is kind of true. Like, why would I spend so much money flying the place and then just a lot of time and effort driving the exact same distance back from whence I started?
And a shitload of money. Nobody out there be fooled and think that driving is cheaper than flying.
No, it seems like it would be cheaper because it's much harder. But when in fact, it's probably 10 to 15 times more expensive.
Yep. But you know what?
It's
rich in experience.
Yeah, no, actually flying is more fun because you're like in the sky.
Yeah, I hope that's cool.
Like, that's a good experience.
I haven't done that in a minute.
Actually, Gautier's dad has a pilot's license.
Gautier? So like... Where is Gautier?
Gautier.
There's also a chance we're pronouncing his name wrong.
No.
Gautier? Gautier? Gautier?
Oh, Gautier. Gautier was in my English class.
Yeah. It was me and Rami and
Gautier, and we did like this this presentation, this book report, I guess. And Gautier was so incompetent; he only did the work cited part. So, how does the show work? We make fun of Gautier for about 7 minutes. Okay,
put Gautier on blast. Sorry, boss. This is that Wednesday night blast.
Would you say we Gautier him?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I might put you on blast for that.
For what?
For that.
For saying that we got you him.
Yeah.
I got you.
I think I
got you.
Can I look at that computer? Oh my God, you wrote that joke earlier today.
Oh my God, yeah.
You started all this gotcha shit.
Just to lead you to that one pun.
Gotcha. Wait, how did we start talking about gotcha?
The most famous French person.
Oh, yeah.
Who is the most famous French person? Nicolas Sarkozy?
Yeah.
Or what about the ballet dancer from Black Swan?
He's so famous, you don't even know his fucking name. The most famous French person in the whole world is
the
ballet guy from Black Swan, Natalie Portman's husband.
Okay, I got the answer, but then we're going to start
Napoleon
the show.
Napoleon Bonaparte?
No, no,
is
no.
Is he French?
Alive. Most famous French person alive.
Just tell me if Napoleon's French, though.
He was, yeah.
Tell
me. Tony Parker.
No, he's not. He's the most famous to you.
Yeah. You know who he is. All right, let's start the show. This is ridiculous.
No, no, no.
I want to storm some more brain. the way it works is that this is, you know, an advice podcast. People find themselves in difficult places, sticky situations, and they write into us, ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. We read through all the submissions and choose 4 to 5 to answer on the show. We give these real emails fake names to preserve their anonymity. Should we get right into it?
I'll give you, honestly, dude, that was your best intro. B-.
What? Really,
that was absolutely on point for you.
And you think that was a 80 out of 100?
82.
82?
82.
It's funny because Gauthier actually got an 84 in AP Calc. All right.
Gauthier came to me in tears. He needed to get an A to make his dad proud.
All right. The theme of this show, I guess, will be French people. So we'll say this person, Napoleon.
Napoleon.
We'll start from the top. Napoleon writes. It's a lady named Napoleon, by the way.
Toda.
Marie Antoinette. Marie Antoinette, French woman.
So not Napoleon anymore.
Not Napoleon, because this is a lady. All right. First question. Marie Antoinette writes. So my problem is my best friend. I'm a huge pessimist, a downer on life, a negative Nancy, if you will. And I think that my best friend is the cause of this. She's constantly insulting me, telling me how annoying I am and how much my life sucks. She'll just call me to say, wow, clearly you're in a bad mood. I'm just going to talk to you later. Even when I'm not mad at all. This, of course, results in me getting angry and pissed off. Is my best friend turning me into a negative person with low self-esteem? Should we take a break from each other? I used to be happy, but for the past several years, I've just been this ridiculously negative and pissed off person. And help.
You're fine. You'll work through it.
What?
What's the second question?
Oh my God.
I'm serious. You'll work through it.
Are you in a rush?
I just think that, like, yeah, your best friends, everybody's best friend gets on their nerves sometimes. It's fine. All right. Next question.
maybe you want to delve a little further? I don't know.
What?
I only chose one question.
Oh, okay. Let's try to stall. It sounds like you have a bad attitude. Would you say this girl seems like she has a bad attitude?
She does now, but I'm blaming her best friend too.
No.
It's too easy. No. It starts with you. Well, here's the real problem. She's still classifying her best friend, this terrible person, as her best friend.
Right, no.
She's got to update the standings.
Here's the problem. My mortal enemy.
Yeah.
Like, you're...
Think about it that way.
This person... Your best friend is supposed to elevate you, challenge you, make you a better person by being a better person themselves. They want to support you. They want what's best for you. They entertain you. They care about you. They have your back, but they're also going to call you on your shit. And it seems like this girl only calls you on your shit. And it seems like she calls you on your shit so aggressively that she stopped calling you on your actual shit and just calls you out for no reason all the time.
She'll call, speaking of which, it says that she'll call me just to say, wow, clearly you're in a bad mood. I'm going to call you later.
Ring. Hello?
Oh, you're in a bad mood.
Excuse me?
No, I'm just going to talk to you later.
Sorry, I'm fine.
Bye.
Hey. Wow, I am in a bad mood now. I guess my mortal enemy was right.
Yeah, she's sort of baiting me into this self-fulfilling prophecy where I'm a terrible person.
I can't believe you put up with this for years. Thank God we started a podcast.
Yeah, what would you have done?
Without us.
Marie?
Ms. Antoinette?
Ms. Antoinette herself?
Honestly, dude, we're fucking heroes, man. We don't pat ourselves on the back enough.
Sure we do. You end every single question with saying that we're heroes and that we don't pat ourselves on the back enough.
Yeah.
So we do. I mean, that's 4 or 5 times twice a week. That's 10 times we call ourselves heroes. I think that's patting ourselves on the back
enough. I do, yeah. No, you're right. I guess it's an appropriate amount.
I would say it's way too many. Like, you should never think call yourself a hero, let alone that many times every week.
If I don't call myself a hero, who will? That's the problem.
I guess the problem is
I call myself a hero, I call myself a pimp, I call myself a good person, because nobody else will. So, yeah.
Do you ever think that maybe people don't do it because you often take a break in the day to talk about that yourself?
Yeah, my self-validation gets a little egregious at times.
At every time.
I'll hold up a line at Starbucks and I'll say, hey, does anybody here think I'm as awesome as I do? And people tend to not. So,
of course, what could they possibly say in the line of a Starbucks? You turn around and you raise two deuces like you're a Richard Nixon impersonator and ask everyone if you're a pimp and a cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and what do? They probably just ignore you.
Well, they suggest that I keep the line moving, and I say, okay, you can eat my ass.
Would you say that to Gabby Giffords?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
An actual hero.
Holy shit. I don't know how it happened, but you're making it seem like...
I don't know how it happened either. Oh, yes, I do. You led me there.
That's not
fair. And then when the bit got too real,
you took it too dark.
Jake backpedals.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's an American hero.
Yeah,
I think but I still think I'm above you because you dragged her into this fucking awful podcast.
If you're an American zero, I'm an American negative one. You're always one-upping me. So very easily, quickly, simply put, this girl's not your best friend.
You need a new best friend.
Or you need a best friend because this girl is just not a best friend.
Maybe you should make yourself your best friend.
This girl's not even a friend.
I think it's time that you loved yourself.
Sure.
Marie?
Do you have a best friend, or you're your own best friend also?
Me? I'm my own best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a week thing that I want to do always is now is take a picture of you as you're recording the show. It's always so funny. Don't pull your sweetshirt down.
No,
do not pull your sweatshirt down. You lazy Santa.
This is not fair. I didn't ask for this. I would take a picture of you right now. You're kneeling on the ground in your parents in your brother's childhood bedroom, shirt off, no socks. You're just hunched over a floral bed print. Okay, this isn't.
So does that mean I can't take a photo of you?
Fine, pick for pick. Where's my phone?
Just under a pastrami sandwich.
Ass. Oh, shit.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, damn it. I turned it off, actually. Shit. All right. Yeah, I'm going to take a picture of you.
All right.
Did you take one of me?
No, not yet, because you're not natural. How you were doing it.
This is me.
No.
Yeah, not being sexy.
You're being a little cat.
I'm being a little coy.
All right, we got to move on to the next question.
I feel coy.
You're a coy boy, to be sure.
I'm coy for this one.
I'm coy for this one, Rick. I've been listening to too much hip hop.
Hip hop.
All right, next question.
Yeah.
All right, we'll call this person, another French person that I know. It's probably just another French athlete. Nicolas Batum.
Who is that?
He plays for the Blazers. What's up, Amir and Jake? I'm leaving for the Air Force at the end of December, so I was planning on breaking up with my girlfriend beforehand. We were texting the other night, and she was talking about giving me a blowjob before I leave.
Excuse you?
This is very unlike her, and something I really want. I know I should just break up with her, but come on, I mean, it's a blowjob. I would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks, you #dopedudes.
Wait, he's going where?
The Air Force.
He's going to the Air Force, so he wants to break up with his girlfriend.
So far makes sense.
Why?
It's just a lot to deal with if you're already in a very difficult place like the Air Force. It requires your 100% of your concentration. He probably doesn't.
You don't know that about the Air Force.
I can only assume. I mean, if my job requires 50% of my concentration, I can only assume the Air Force requires more than that. He doesn't want to have to worry about,
you're only concentrating on your job 50%?
I'm saying I'm dedicating, 50% of my concentration to my job. The rest of it is just mostly my stamp collection.
Jesus.
My coins.
I guess in my mind, when people go to something like the Air Force or the military or the Navy, don't you want to lock down a girlfriend? Because it's not really a good dating scene in the Army.
How self-centered of you, you small, impotent fuck.
Yeah.
You piece of shit. Well, I can't get any in Air Force, so let me lock one down back at home. I just want to make sure she doesn't get any.
Put me on blast.
And then when I'm doing
something
and I have a week off, I can cheat on her as long as she stays in her emotional prison.
Is this what it fucking feels like to be on blast? How is this okay?
You're shitting yourself.
I'm on blast.
I know, but still. Control your bowels, man.
What's the fucking point? Life on blast isn't worth fucking living.
A life on blast isn't a life at last.
Life on blast. That's the name of Dave Rosenberg's memoir.
A life on blast, the Dave Rosenberg story. Yeah. Why? You think it's good to have a girlfriend when you go to a situation where you can't?
At the very least, I would fucking get a BJ from her before I left. You don't have to be such a saint that you're going to go fight for our country and not hurt a girl.
Yeah,
okay?
You got to get out of guilt-free card
because
you're a hero.
You get, dude, I'll fucking blow you, actually.
I swear to God.
It'd be an honor.
Sir.
In fact, permission.
To do it in an F-16.
Permission to give you airhead in an F-16, sir.
I want to give you a Mach 3 blowjay.
Sky dome, if you will.
I'd like for you to nut during a sonic boom. I'd like for us to break the sound barrier. Airhead.
And after you nut, I swear to God, just hit the eject button. I'll disappear from your life forever. I'll never call you.
There's an eject button that's so specific. It just shoots up the person who's kneeling right in front of you in the fighter jet.
That they do not get a parachute.
I'll give this guy some good person advice, since you're a terrible human being.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, your job is to tell him to get a blowjob.
Oh, sorry, I didn't think veterans deserve blowjobs. Is that a patriotic sentiment, actually?
How dare you.
Tell you what, you guys go volunteer for our armed forces, and Amir's going to get ahead from your girlfriends. That's what you're thinking.
You're worse than the terrorists. Whoa.
God, we're...
We spend more time together than any two people should spend together.
Yeah, I can't believe we're looking at houses. We're going to move in together.
Terrible idea.
Right?
If you're going to break up with her, I wouldn't get that BJ.
I'm dead serious. You guys, there's no video version of this podcast, but here's my thumb. It's up, and guess what? I just switched it to a thumbs down. It was a classic move. It indicated that I didn't like Amir's advice in a jovial way.
But if you knew you were going to break up with someone, would you accept a BJ? Wouldn't
yes.
you feel a little bit bad?
No.
It ends and then you're like, sorry, that was good, but I'm going to break up with you now?
Yeah. You never had sex with your ex-girlfriend after you broke up?
No.
Okay. I'm not the weird one here. That's very normal to...
Well, that's a totally different question.
Fine. He knows he's going to break up with her.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to blow you. And he said, and he's going to say, oh, no, actually. Hold on to that thought.
If you're going
to
break up with someone, I feel like you have to be the best guy that you can be. So you have to give her no ammunition.
Like, yeah.
When she probably gets mad at him for being like, but why did you let me S your D? He's like, I don't know, babe, we're through.
Well, I mean, you don't have to do it right then and there. Like, oh, God, that was dope. I don't want to be with you. And she's like,
Oh, God, that was gross.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think Gabby Giffords got real?
No, she's an American hero. She's a patriot. And you're a coward. You're a scumbag for even invoking your name. Yeah. She who shall not be named.
That just makes you seem worse.
Oh, no.
All right, two different pieces of advice from two different people. Jake says, go for it. I say, no, for it. let's take a break.
Oh.
Let's take a freaking break.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
need. That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes.
Congrats.
And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most
of it yours.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
When I was talking about food, the equivalent of what 20 jeans cost, it reminded me of a good thing that I wanted to bring up on the show, which is your diet.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said you've been eating like a wrestler trying so desperately to gain weight.
Yeah.
Like you don't do, you have no filter.
Right.
Yeah.
I just order whatever I want. I order whatever I want, and then I order a couple other things that I think I might want.
Right.
And then if there's something on the menu that I don't see very often, then I'm like, oh, it's a chocolate milkshake. I haven't been around one. I would like that. And then I'll also finish other people's food.
So like,
and then if there's like bread that comes out before, I eat all of that.
So like Cracker Barrel, whatever, I'll get meatloaf and fried okra or something, some vegetable, and you get like a cheeseburger, mac and cheese, french fries, a milkshake, and bread.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I was also eating everyone else's food.
Right. And then you end every meal with the same painful feeling.
Right.
It's like, it's like, what's that animal that eats so much that he would die? Like lambs or something.
Yeah,
you have to like restrict their diet because they will eat so much that their stomach
just
explodes.
Nonstop. Yeah.
Yeah. And then 6 hours later, you're starving again and back at it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of, it's like that consequences thing. Just like, I can see myself getting fat and I'm like, I just like, and when I'm done eating, I'm like, oh God, you know what? Salads later, or like, I'm going to take it easy. I'm not going to like drink tonight. And then I'm, but then I 6 hours after that, I forget all of the feelings that I had had.
Right.
And I just do this. It's a cyclical, awful, sad, deplorable, depraved, really. John Grimm yesterday said, "You're killing yourself with food." That's true. I also eat very, 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 very fast.
Yeah, because the human body shouldn't have as much food, so you have to like shove it in your mouth before it gets to your stomach.
Today, when we were we pulled into work and we were shooting, and somebody like brought us sandwiches.
Yeah,
and they're like, we're talking about like, you know, the logistics of this shoot. I was eating. I looked like a person who had just like finished sprinting, and they're like bending over, clutching their knees. But it like I was bending over. One hand on my knee, the other was just like shoving a sandwich in my face. I didn't even like stand up straight because so much ingredients were falling out of the sandwich onto the ground that I couldn't do it. And I was eating so fast. Just like,
yeah, you eat like a war refugee who's seen food for the first time in 2 years. Yeah. But that's what you do every 4 hours.
Mid-sandwich, I realized I was like, oh my God, I'm doing this in front of someone. I need to stop
who used to respect me. Can you read the... Or is it too personal to read the message that you sent yourself?
Oh, I hope I have it.
You sent, during the middle of our tour, while we were making fun of how much you eat and how disgusting it is, you sent yourself a reminder.
I said I was going to change.
Yeah. And so you sent yourself a reminder for today at 11 a.m.?
Yes.
What did it read?
Oh, here we go. This went off this morning at 11. Actually, as I was very, very hungover leaving
Las
Vegas.
You two croissants.
Yeah. Reality check. You're fat as fuck. Your bulging back flab is going to make it so only your ugly fans will want to fuck you. Double chin. Your stubble looks better thin. You have little to no willpower. The only thing you do consistently is wreck your body and squander relationships. Even this reminder will serve no purpose except to illustrate how immediately and often you ignore good advice. Enjoy your cheeseburger, fat ass. The funny thing is that I tried to order a cheeseburger on the road.
You just read the last line. You're like, oh, yeah, cheeseburger. I'd actually be down.
Oh, God.
But you know what? When you have a reason, you're very strong willpowered. So I have faith
like
in you.
Burning Man.
Yeah, like you eat leaves and salad primarily for about a week straight.
I'm going to do my best. I'm going to get back on. As soon as I just like, don't have a fucking permanent house.
That's not an excuse to not eat, order food.
It's at least an excuse to not go to the gym. And if I'm not going to the gym, then I don't really feel like eating right. And then I'm like, dude, I'm a vagrant right now. I'm a
fat homeless.
I'm a transient.
Man.
Fucker. That's what it is.
So let's get back to these questions. Let's see what your transient fat ass has to say about this.
Why would I give anyone advice? Why would I give someone advice? I don't deserve to live.
Because what you lack in discipline and willpower, you make up for in insight and self-awareness. You're so clued in on life and your thoughts and feelings that like most people would look up to you in that regard, I think. And these are what people need. They need a fresh perspective, and you can offer that. Also, if you finish this podcast, I'll give you a cheeseburger.
The first half of that was the nicest thing you've said to me ever.
And it was just the setup to a punchline.
You asshole.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Can I get a French person's name?
Yeah.
All right, tight. Oh, Michel Gondry.
Perfect.
Michel Gondry writes, "My girlfriend Brittany and I are about to celebrate our first Christmas together. We were having a friendly conversation about Christmas gifts we've gotten in the past, and she mentions that her best Christmas present was from her most recent ex-boyfriend. It was a painting, and she went on and on about how much time and effort he put into it. It didn't really bother me at first until I realized that the painting she was talking about is the very same painting that is hanging over the bed of her college dorm room. That's right. The whole time I've been giving it to my smoke show of her girlfriend, her ex's gift has been staring me right in the face, reminding me that he was there first. I know it shouldn't bother me this much, but it does. Should I ask her to take the painting down? And if so, how would I go about doing this? Thanks. Michel Gondry."
I love it. I think that's really funny.
Yeah, especially because the painting is of the ex-boyfriend grabbing his dick, looking down at a bed.
I think it is so like. Well, I think that she's rude for even bringing that up.
Yeah, be like, you never go on and on about your ex in any capacity, let alone a gift that is still on display.
It's weird though, because like I feel like talking about your exes is one of it's just like somebody's. It's like the your favorite thing to do as a human being.
Why?
I don't know, but I love talking about my exes.
Like in a negative way, or just in general?
Just like sort of like, you know, thinking about the relationships, like what the like the good things, the bad things, because you're sort of like trying to work out like what you're going to want out of the next thing, or like what you did wrong in that relationship. I just think it's natural to like to talk about your exes, but you should never be talking about your exes with
your current.
Your current, even if they're being cool, they're like silently stewing.
Right.
Like, just don't ever do that.
There's only so cool that you can be.
Yeah. I also think, I think you, this guy can spin this. You don't have to be like, I'm her ex-boyfriend's like watching over us to remind you that he was there first. You're pounding your girlfriend under the painting to announce that you're there now.
Yeah, now is better than first.
Yeah, fuck that. You know? Like, yeah, oh, this dude, he slaved away at this painting. He made it, he went out and bought a fucking easel and shit, and he made a this gorgeous little Christmas gift. But like, oh, guess what, dude?
I'm going to pull out and ejaculate onto it.
Well,
or
that's what's up. No, for real though. Have you ever ejaculated onto an oil painting? It is bliss.
It is absolute
bliss. It's absolute bliss.
Yeah. It's called glazing. You sort of you finish a photo.
Yeah.
It really makes it pop.
You got to top the ex's present.
Mm.
You have to do that.
How do you do that? A better painting.
No, it can't be the same thing. Cause if
get her a frame.
Frame for the painting.
Yeah, just, he was there first, but know that I'm currently surrounding you.
And I'm better.
I'm protecting you.
Yeah, you got to do like something that costs money. Because like things that are like thoughtful and like that are like nice. But like people like shit that costs like money.
Exactly. So,
like, if you bought her something, like it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter if it's like her thing, if she likes it, if she knows how expensive it was.
Yeah.
She'll be like, oh, this is awesome. I love money.
You like, if somebody gave me, like if I was seeing somebody and they gave me like a very sentimental book or a trinket or something, and then I went on Amazon and it was worth $50, in a heartbeat, I would trade that for a $51 gift certificate to Amazon, 100%. iTunes, Starbucks, whatever. Because they say that, oh, it's the thought that counts. No. It's the money.
Yeah.
It's the thought of money that counts.
Thought actually doesn't count for jack shit, because last time I checked, I couldn't buy a grande sweetened iced coffee and a croissant
with thoughts. Yeah. No.
And actually,
how many thoughts is that? So it's 461 or how many thoughts?
Or how many thoughts?
Oh, I can't. I can't give you this.
Here, I see this is where I swipe the card. Where do I swipe my thoughts?
Yeah, I know the monetarily. I don't know the monetary value of this croissant.
I'm being lifted out of the Starbucks. I was just trying to prove a point. I have cash. I have cash.
You open your wallet and it's just thoughts.
No.
Who cares about cash value when you got sentimental value?
Sentimental.
Yeah, with a C.
Uh-huh.
Sentimental. These cents are mental. Now, don't regret this dental appointment I made for you. I made you a dentist appointment, actually.
Wait, sentimental,
these cents are mental. Now, don't regret this dental appointment that I made for you.
Do you like this car? It's a rental. My new girlfriend, she's Oriental.
Whoa.
I don't think that's is that an offensive word?
Absolutely it is.
Oriental?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I thought we saw it on the billboard.
We did, but we were in such a backwards-ass city that it was completely normal. We were in, where we got off at Route 66.
Oh, and like, was it was Arizona?
Yeah.
Somewhere in Arizona.
Someplace in Arizona, the birthplace of Route 66. There was this old sign that said Oriental food, and I was like, that's not okay.
Is it not?
No. We also saw a great thing in the Grand Canyon, which was candy cigarettes.
Oh, my God.
With a design that looked like it couldn't be legally made today. It was just like a kid asking his dad. He's like, Dad, can I bum a smoke? Yeah. And then like the tagline was like, teach your kids how to look cool.
Yeah. And it was like, just like daddy does.
Yeah. Terrible.
Insane.
So many people fought so many laws to make sure that that never happened. And that person is just selling these candy cigarettes in the Grand Canyon. Where were we?
This gift.
What's the gift?
I don't think you can ask her to take down the painting. I think that just makes you weak and lame. This is like when I asked, did I tell the story on the podcast where like my, oh yeah, I think I did, where my ex, I was like with somebody who was like, she was wearing her ex's t-shirt to bed. Like, I want you to throw it away, but I know I can't say it. Right. It's just not, it's not an argument worth having. Just like, just, it's going to suck. Silently stew for a little bit and process it and let it go. But it's like, it's not worth making it a thing.
Because as soon as you say, take it down, then he really wins.
Right, exactly. And then you say, take it down, and she's like, no. And then she like feels some sort of like connectedness to him all over again. It's like, oh, wait a second. No, I don't. Just fucking don't even, just gloss over it.
The greatest way to beat him is to not give a shit about the painting.
Just next time you go in there, look at it and just pick out all its flaws and be like, oh, this is a bad painting. And
oh, that's good. It. Make fun of the painting in front of her.
Well, no, don't do that. Not in front of her. This is just for you to get over it.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, no.
My jaw is melting.
Oh, no. What happened to you, dude?
I don't know,
oh,
dude.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
No.
Gautier, can you help me out for a second, man? Me and Gautier used to make like Jackass style videos. Yeah, in high school. Gautier used to work at like Walgreens, so he used to like rent the shopping carts, and like Gautier would just launch me into a hedge.
You would rent a shopping cart?
Yeah. Well, Gautier would, yeah. Because he's like French, he doesn't really understand that you can just take one. But he was like, no, I prefer
Gautier
to rent,
would rent
it out
them for like $5 an hour. It was
insane. It was so stupid.
Gautier but had money like that.
That's Gautier. That is Gautier for you.
He is. He's actually somebody that you used to know, huh?
Zinger! All right, let's last question it up. This one comes from
French fry.
The Frenchest fry of all.
So there's some fucking insanely famous French person that
we're just forgetting.
Like, and everyone's going to, it's like, it's probably a humanitarian or something. Somebody really, really good.
It's the Pope. Pope is French.
Is he?
No, I think he's from South America.
Yeah, he's Argentina.
Yeah, Argentine.
Ish.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Current events.
Marcel Marceau writes, hey guys, last year I met a girl who I honestly believed that I loved. I was promptly friend-zoned at homecoming after I asked her out. She would then try to get with one of my good friends. Normally this wouldn't faze me, but it happened twice now and put my self-esteem about the way I look at in the gutter. I'm pretty skinny. Now, I can't think about getting with a girl without them rejecting me due to the way I look. What do you guys think?
Dude, I hate when I get promptly friend-zoned.
Yeah.
You ever go up to a girl at a bar and you're just like, hey, baby, and she's like, nuh-uh, friend-zone.
Yeah, it's like, oh, great, now I have to freaking go mini-golfing and eat frozen yogurt with her.
Dude, no!
I'm in the zone!
Friend-zone is the silliest term in the world.
Friend-zone is a way for people to say, like, oh, she didn't reject me, she put me in a zone of friends.
Right, it's like, she still likes me.
Yeah, you know, the zone where with all your other friends where you never see that person ever again.
It's funny
because
also it puts the rejection on the girl and not you. She's right. Like, ugh, idiot, put me in the friend zone.
I don't want to be your friend.
I'm not trying to be your friend. I'm trying to hook up. Like, no, she put you in the zone of people she is not attracted to.
Yeah, that's the unattracted zone.
So,
now he can't think of trying to go for another girl because his self-esteem is in the gutter.
Because you're insecure because this girl didn't find you attractive.
Well, a good way to make yourself feel better is that nobody on earth could get every single girl in the world that he wanted. So you can say, oh, there are some girls that don't like me and some girls that do. This happens to me, a girl that doesn't. Not necessarily every girl is going to think of you that way. Some girls will actually, you know, dig skinny guys.
Yeah, or yeah, go get like whey protein and just...
Yeah, or like cheeseburgers, mac and cheese, French fries.
Dude, if you need a diet boss, if you need a diet to pack on some pounds,
you're rocking 5,800 calories a day.
You do cheese.
Seize the cheeseburger, would you say?
Seize the yo to you.
Cheese
the cheeseburger.
This guy's talking.
Cheese the cheeseburger.
you're drooling American.
Sorry,
cheese.
I swear to God, I'm gonna fall asleep with the mic in the hand. When you're doing the outro, when you're like, yeah, this is Emilian, I'm just like, I'm dead. I'm
it's
dying.
Over. All right, I just got the photo of you that I need.
You son of a bitch. Let me do one more being coy.
I'll give you final filter approval. Don't worry about that.
This is fucked up.
This is illegal, I think.
you're exploiting me.
You're under arrest. Doors locked behind you. I make you model for half an hour. This seems like a young dude that's experiencing his first taste of rejection.
Yeah.
This is not how it is always. Or, you know, maybe that feeling never does go away. You get rejected and you just think, oh, maybe nobody likes me. That's what, you got to just remain confident.
Yeah, fuck, I don't know.
People vacillate between attractive and unattractive too. I mean, I used to be much less attractive than I am currently.
Yeah, I think you're peaking right now.
You think this is my apex?
Yeah.
30. Well,
I mean, I don't know where the trajectory is going. You might, I
might have already topped out.
You maybe did, but like, I just think that you are at, you're at your apex. Let's keep on going up. Let's see what happens.
Let's see how high I can get.
Yeah. But I think your star is on the rise, Blumenfeld.
Or it's at the very least at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
There is one way to go from here and it's down.
No, it might be up.
Oh.
I really think so.
So if I was a stock, would you buy me right now, sell me, or hold me?
Well, I mean, I bought you 8 years ago, so I'm holding you, baby.
Toda.
I'm holding you forever, baby.
Toda.
Hell yeah. Holding you forever, baby.
I sold you in 2011. So I bought you in 2007.
Well, good.
I made a pretty good profit.
2011, yeah. That was my all-time low. I'm on the goddamn rise.
You're my little Bitcoin.
Yeah, right.
Dude.
Made a mistake. You made a mistake. I'm going to come back. I'm going to make something myself still. You mark my words, all right?
This is you at an In-N-Out Burger.
My broken heel's been amputated.
I'm talking to an animal-style cheeseburger.
No.
So keep your head up, dude. I don't know what else to tell this guy.
I just think that, like, don't worry about being friend-zoned by people. Also, I think if you're in love with someone at homecoming, then you know what? You haven't really experienced love yet, and that's fine, too. Just, like, be attractive to people. Be warm, open, funny, cool, confident. You don't have to worry about, like, getting with girls. I think people are attracted to that kind of attitude, and it's going to come your way.
Yeah, just, like, not trying so hard. Well, that's kind of difficult advice because you try very hard, but your effort is spent masking your effort.
Yeah, I try so fucking hard.
Yeah, you try so hard, but 50% of that is just seeming as though you're not trying.
Yeah.
So it's like, I try really, really hard, and then the other half of me tries really, really hard to mask that really, really hardness.
It's crazy. So yeah, but I mean, that's a really...
it's crazy.
I can't in good faith give that advice because I don't think anyone... I mean, at least not many people can do it.
Right. It's hard to actually not give a shit.
Right. So I think I think it's hard to give a shit and pretend to not give a shit. Well, I guess that's what everybody does.
Yeah, you're constantly vacillating between giving a shit and pretending not to.
Right, and just trying to hide how insecure you are.
Right.
And how much you want something.
And but the people that seem cooler are just the people that are better at hiding it.
So I guess my advice is to at least just keep on like smiling and laughing, because then it will look like things don't bother you.
Our advice is to hide it better.
Hide it better.
Yeah. And it's good to tell yourself, yes, I was rejected, and that's gonna happen. I mean, everyone gets rejected. You're not friend zone. You're rejected, and every rejection makes you a better person.
I feel like this is the meanest advice we've ever given anybody.
But it's good.
Number one, just telling him over and over he was rejected, not good enough, and then we're being like, but it's fine, just lie, fake it, smile even though you're sad.
But this is sort of like, I mean, this has happened to me. I was rejected before, and I had to own up to it.
Yeah.
If you don't own up to it, then you're constantly sweeping it under the covers, and then you never like grow, I think.
Right. So yeah, grow. It's okay that you're skinny. Keep on asking people out. Keep on getting friend zoned or rejected.
Dude, like, and honestly, I used to be skinny. Like, I was not always this cut. Like, I used to be like this slender dude, and like people would look at me like he's a
skinny
guy.
You're not skinny anymore. You're jacked now.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. You're making these jokes, but you've been working out for like a year, and you had your biceps.
How dare you? Enough of this.
You have big biceps.
Get off of me.
I'm going to take another picture.
It's of me doing push-ups. All right. This is enough. This public, the opposite of a public shaming of me, is more embarrassing.
You tried to shame yourself. It's more embarrassing that I tell you that you look good. You're trying to pretend.
You've
like
made your point, and you're done with it. Absolutely no more. Thank you, and thank you guys for listening to this episode. The email address again, if you want to write us in so that we can answer your questions/make fun of you, is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. hulupluswithfree.com. Thanks again to 20 Jeans for sponsoring and Hulu Plus for sponsoring this episode. We're also accepting theme song submissions. Every single episode has a new original theme song written by you. Yes, you. Luke and Jacob, who wrote the outro.
My goodness.
And that first one was written by, what was his name? Cannon, McLean Cannon.
McLean Cannon.
Name of the freaking year. We'll be back on Monday for another all new episode. Thanks for listening, everybody. Peace. Text me.
No.
If I were you, I'd be shaking in fear. Cause life comes at you like a freight to a deer. Life gives you lemons that are crazy and weird. It's taking the steering wheel, making you fear. The weight of the years, all the hate and the tears. When fate interferes and starts raping your rear. Then like a big earthquake, they appear. The only ones who can help, and it's shaking a beer. Ha ha ha.